You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on October 25th, 2023, and is titled Three at a Time. Grab your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Samuel, and let's join Steve and the message.
They look like warriors. The angels that hang out with God's anointed are usually prepared for battle. Same way in the Bible. That one that came up to Joshua looked like a mighty soldier. Joshua hit his face on the ground. He said, "Get up. I'm just a man of the army of God. Get up." Well, that's what they've come to do today, to tell you get up. You guys have heard it 10,000 times. I'm just going to encourage you a little. I'm going to encourage you guys tonight to see if you can operate in groups of three. But do not go pray for the empty chair. Do not go start a prayer meeting. Do not have another meeting. I want you to look around and see if there's two more guys in your life that are reaching for the same thing you're reaching for, and there's any way you can help them. I got some of them guys that don't live anywhere around here. It was kind of funny. We was talking about the men of threes driving down the highway with Jake Hooker. You know what, Jake Hooker, he's a great guy to have to be your friend. You know why? He loves Jesus, and he plays bass in the bar every week. I like them kind of guys. He stands face to face with everything that goes against what he believes, and he uses that position to be a light in the darkness and to preach the gospel and to reach other people. And me and him have done it together. We've sat right up there on a stage while everybody was drunk on a bicycle and hooping and hollering and carrying on, and we got to preach the gospel here in a minute, and he's playing that bass, and I'm trying to leave, and he's wanting me to stay, and he don't know what to do next, and all of a sudden the anointing of God just hits us both, and the next thing you know, we're having a small revival on the dirt. While I was talking to Jake about, he was sharing with me all that, we're just firing each other up. I mean, it's a good thing we didn't run into a truckload of somebody we didn't like. I mean, we were ready. My buddy Eugene Weldon calls me on the phone. He's been battling the trickery of religion for 35 years. He's a bulldogger. Now, I'll put my three up about anybody's three. I got me two more. Boys got a little mustard on their hot dog. Now, them boys do. That Eugene, I like just packing him around just in case something really does happen. He's about back down to his fighting weight. He's ready to roll. But those guys are always in my life. Not that you guys aren't, but just to get away from the scene and not be the leader, to where some iron sharpens iron and some pretty lofty things come down the pike from time to time, so that I can come right back here and lead where I need to lead, or go to the horse sale and lead where I need to go, stand wherever I need to stand. Groups of three. I want to show you something here in the Bible. David's mighty men. Verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. This first one, I ain't even going to try it. They shortened it up and called him Adino. That was a good idea. He is called Adino the Esnite because he had killed 800 men at one time. Not because of the letter he had behind his name. Not because he had the biggest congregation. Not because he was the king and name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. He's a guy that didn't run off when 800 of them showed up. It's not the fact that he killed them. It's the fact he didn't leave. He just stood there. The other 30 left. In this whole pile, there's 37 men involved in this whole conversation. There's two groups of three, David and the 30 other high men of David that found the back pew every time. And then they come back. After the battle was over, they come back and plunder the stuff. This looks just like modern-day Christianity. We're ready for somebody to go cut Goliath's head off. We're ready for somebody to go battle on our behalf. We're ready for somebody to go to the front lines. We just want to show up and receive the benefits of God. Yeah. And so this guy mucked out 800 of them by himself. Now I dug and dug and dug because I wanted to see what his technique was. I would like to know just exactly how he pulled that off. But look, it gets even better. And he said, then there was Eleazar. He was the son of Dodo. Now, that really wasn't his name. It was Dodai. I don't know why they renamed him Dodo, but he was Abobite or something. I don't know what he was. He's one of them Ites. Man, they had a lot of Ites. But he was one of three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle. Before I go any further, do you know what I think Israel needs? They're not going to ask me, but here's what they need. They need a leader. And if they knew anything about the history of their nation and the history of their God, they'd realize that out of the back 40 back here, leaders came to the front who would look at uncircumcised Philistines and know where his God stood and where he didn't. You see, we've all ended up in the same mess. In America today, we're still hunting for a leader. That's how Donald Trump caught all the steam he caught. Now, he did a pretty darn good job once everybody got a hold of him. He just rose up and said some things we were thinking, did some things we wish we'd have done, and we've been looking for a leader. He looked like a guy who wasn't afraid. That's all we're looking for is a guy who ain't afraid. They make the best leaders just get a guy. You don't have to be the smartest guy. Just find a guy that ain't afraid. I'll tell you what, ladies, it don't hurt to have one of them at your house. Yeah. So if you went and found old Poopsie and he's your trophy husband, just be sure he ain't afraid. And he oughtn't be afraid of you. Quit it. Well, maybe just a little bit. I wish y'all could see how cute that little grin is she gives me when she kind of purses them lips and looks at me sideways. He said, but them Philistines, and he said, so he was one of three mighty men that who gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel retreated. They shrunk back. But look, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. What that means is stuck to the sword is like his hand was welded to the sword. He couldn't get loose from the sword. And he's standing there in the middle of a maize field and he's protecting Israel. And the Lord brought a great victory that day. And I want to tell you, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, put on the whole armor of God. But prior to that, he said, I'm calling you to stand. I'm calling you to stand. And when you get done, stand. And I want you to take up the whole armor of God, including the sword of the Spirit. Do you know what's wrong in America today? We were so lazy that we let people, and because they dressed right. That guy the other day that said you couldn't hear God, I looked across that deal and called Robin, that cameraman was dumb enough to scan the crowd. They were all dressed like the guy at the front, and none of them had a Bible. Now, I'm getting pretty darn close to home now. They all looked just like him, and none of them had a Bible. We've let people tell us what they knew about God for the last however long, and you guys and I, we're all in it, when we need to be welded to this Bible. This needs to sharpen our tongue, sharpen our mind, give us strength, give us faith. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you walking in faith, you're not going to walk in fear. If you know this Bible under the teaching of the Holy Ghost, then you know who God is. You know where he is. You know where all three persons of God dwell. We're not talking about the Bermuda Triangle here. We're talking about the heavenly host. We're talking about the angels of God. We're talking about the whole accompaniment of God. We're talking about Elisha standing there. God, open up that boy's eyes so he can see who's here with us. We don't know who's here with us because hirelings have been telling us what we thought we needed to know, and that was good enough for us until the point that we didn't even bother to tell our kids. We dropped that off at some wet-behind-the-ears Sunday school teacher, and they didn't tell them anything any good either. Well, now, you know, little Billy, he went to church camp one time, and he prayed the prayer, so we know he's going to heaven. Well, he's been useless as you know what ever since. We hadn't been welded to this book. I can tell you which tribe has a hymnal and a Bible behind every seat. And them hymnals will be used, and them Bibles will be new. He said right here, he was welded to the sword. He didn't move. He just stood there. And then, here comes Shammah. And the Philistines had gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils. Now, lentil was very important. They made the showbread out of lentil. They made stew out of lentil. It was lentil stew that Esau traded his birthright for. And so Shammah is standing out there in the field, and the people fled from the Philistines. The other day, them Philistines and Palestinians swooped down right under the radar, walked right into their houses, plundered their houses, stole their children, and raped their women. I want to know who's going to stand in the lentils. Why in the world would another man come into your house, rape your wife, steal your kids, all in the name of their religion, while you sit there with your thumbs in your ears? Where's your God and where's your guts? God and guts go together really good. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, before fornicators and drunks, cowards are the first to not attain the kingdom of God. Cowards are the first. I don't blame you for being afraid if you don't know where your God is. I don't blame you if you've never put yourself in a position to see the hand of God deliver you from the hand of the enemy. I'm not talking about some fictitious depiction of Satan that he's like the chihuahua on Taco Bell and he's just pulling on your pant leg all the time, making you want to smoke another cigarette or something stupid like that. I'm talking about an enemy that wants to destroy your family. I'm talking about an enemy that wants to take away your generational promise. I'm talking about an enemy that wants to steal your freedom, your future. I'm talking about an enemy that wants you dead. Let me just ask y'all something tonight, and I don't want an answer because I already know. How many of y'all ever done hand-to-hand combat with demons coming out of a man? Yeah, I know there's a few of you around here who have. It's combat. You'll find out why the gifts of the Spirit are necessary, not so you can have another stinking meeting. No, because you're fixing to get your head tore off. How many of y'all have ever preached till somebody wanted to kill you? I have. You better know where God is. And you better know how he is. And you better know who he is right now. Because I'm going to tell you all this mamby-pamby church plan we've been doing, you can't find anybody who wants to stand in the lintels. The Philistines come and everybody wants to shag it. The good news is you just need one guy. One guy who's going to step up there and stand there. One guy. Back when I was going in the jail, I'll just confess, and Alan, he went in a lot. We had a lot of fun in there, seen a lot of stuff, but I'm going to be real honest with you. I didn't go in there to save people. If some of them got saved while I was in there, that'd be great. And a lot of them did. The reason I went to the jail when I got here, because when we moved to Muleshoe, 90 miles away, we knew there was an absolute drug problem in Muleshoe, Texas. We knew there was a drug problem in Muleshoe School. We knew there was a problem. Lo and behold, we get here and there's a problem. There's still a problem. We had a problem. Now it's everywhere, but this town was famous for having a problem. This town's famous for sticking their head in the sand and pretending like you don't have a problem. They still don't have a problem. We got businesses on the main drag of Muleshoe being run from a prison cell, but we don't have a problem. I'd be the only preacher in town could speak to this, because I'm the only preacher in town to ever darken the doors of where they was. I went to jail to find drug dealers. I didn't know how to catch them any other way. But if I could get my hands on a drug dealer while my daughter's in high school, I might can do a little something to alleviate the problem. There was a drug dealer in this town. His name was Gilbert Archuleta. 300-pounder with a shaved head and all the markings of a pretty bad guy. Alan's met him. I didn't know him, but I knew who he was. Now, I'm not telling this story to brag on me. I just want to encourage you guys. Because a long time before I met Gilbert Archuleta, I started going to the junior high and praying with Kelsey's friends every Thursday for 2 semesters. I didn't ask permission. I went right in the auditorium. I figured I was paying something every year for my use of the facility, so I'll just go on in. I finally met the principal on the 2nd semester. Nobody threw me out. Nobody told me I couldn't be there. They were scared to shake my hand. Anybody that had guts enough to gather up 60 kids every Thursday for 2 cotton-picking semesters was way too bronky to mess with. We did it. But now we're going to move on up the ladder. I got a drug dealer. They got him in a cage. I didn't know him, and I walked in that jail one morning. I'd been going in there, and they got me a chaplain T-shirt and all kinds of stuff. I said, "Hey, you guys got Gilbert Archuleta?" They said, "Yep." And I said, "I don't want him. Where's he at?" Well, in their jail up here, they've got the cells, and then there's a little cubicle in the middle there, a little 4x4, 6x6, whatever that is. And the door's all locked and shut, and it's isolated. So we call him out of his cell, and he gets in that little hole with me. He's a big old fat guy. And this little old girl, she's the jailer. And I introduced myself to him, and she's standing behind me with the door cracked. That ain't going to work. I said, "Hey, sweetie, shut that door." She said, "I can't shut the door with you and him in here." I said, "Shut the door go to the front and pretend like I'm not in this jail. Forget I came in here. Now shut the door. That big fat boy was starting to get a little nervous. Here's this little old preaching white guy. And I'm begging that jailer to shut that door. She shuts the door. The assistance of my Lord is so overwhelming. I said, are you Gilbert Archuleta? He said, I am. And I said, well, me and Jesus have come to change your life so you don't sell dope in my town anymore. And in less than 4 minutes, Murph, he's on the floor in the fetal position. God done took him to the ground. He's bawling till my shoes got wet. He did. He gave his life to Jesus. Now, I think he took it back later on. We've done that a couple of times in there. Turned over state's evidence, and we caught a whole pile more after that. Didn't stand around praying for God to fix the drug problem in our town. Somebody had to get it right up there in the front where the stinking enemy was, and you had to go do something. But if you try the assistance of the Lord, you're going to get killed. I was with a man one day with 9 demons come out of him in a day. I saddled a horse and went with him the entire day. When the last one come out, he got raging, stinking mad. I'm talking about these are wild things that you're not going to hear about down here at the brick building on Main Street because ain't nobody ever tried it. And while I held him by the nape of the neck, he swung at me for 15 minutes. If you don't believe me, you ask Dusty Leatherwood and get him to hem you up. You remember because he called you that day. We called you that day. It was a wreck. It was a wreck. And none of us knew what we were doing. We just kept going. We didn't turn around and go back. When people call you and say, I'm going to kill you. Good, here's my address. The last guy here is Shama. He stood together with the troop came and everybody left. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Do you know what's wrong in America today? We have not had a victory. We'll sing victory in Jesus, victory in Jesus. Everybody's good. And as long as you're comfortable, you found victory in Jesus. As long as you're okay with yourself, you found victory in Jesus. And I'm telling you today, the needle is moving to the other team. I'm telling you today, your freedom is going out the door. I'm telling you today that your influence is going out the door. I'm telling you today, the ability to minister the gospel in this country is going out the door. Your generations are going out the door. Your institutions are going out the door. They're getting further away from the Bible, further away from God, further away from truth every day. You know why? Because the people of God are not welded to the sword. The people of God won't stand with God. They don't know who he is. They don't know where he's at. They will not stand. They will not fight. They'll run every time. And as long as we're comfortable, we're okay. That is not right. There's an enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And I figured out now why I'm the leader. It's sure not because I'm so darn smart. But I will do some stupid stuff. I put myself with over 300 homeless people for 3 years just so I could learn about Jesus. Because when I started going to church, I got me a Bible. I only had to read that Bible for a week to know. I knew. Something's off. So I've been battling this ever since. The Bible says get the sword of the Spirit. Follow your Bible. Don't follow your religion. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let him be your teacher. Yeah, find a guy who's a leader. You want to find a leader? Find a guy that's not scared. during COVID, did you ever feel like you came here, it was a scary place? How many of y'all learned Psalms 91 while you were here during COVID? Everybody did. How many of y'all realized what it meant to live under the shadow of the Almighty and the wing of the Most High? So how many of you have seen, though they fall, 1,000 at your right hand, 10,000 before you, but you're still standing?
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.